2017, first episode of 2017.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, the first of 2017. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most energy tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Is that right? Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have some topics prepared that we want to discuss with you, but that doesn't prevent us from going off on a tangent. And why not? New year, new tangents, new stories, all right here on a brand new episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I've been aching to jump back into it because when we end the year, we have the Christmas episode and the New Year's episodes, which are unique because the Christmas episode, Mike does parodies and songs.
Yeah.
Which is really good, by the way. Check it out if you haven't listened to that episode. And then the New Year's episode is our odd news retrospective look on the year that was in 2016, which is hilarious.
That's always one of my favorites.
Yeah. But, you know, it's 2 weeks that we're kind of out of the loop with regular news.
Yeah,
so I've been aching to get back into the swing of things and let you know some crazy happenings going on in sports, entertainment, and, of course, new odd news that we're going to get to.
The first batch of odd news for the new year.
That's right.
I'm so excited.
That's right.
I have to start a whole new list of best odd news of 2017.
That's right. Starting now, it's game on for 2017.
But that's not until later.
Yeah. Everything in due time.
That's right. Be patient, young Padawan.
Exactly.
Star Wars is on.
Yeah.
In the other room.
Yeah. We were watching a little bit of Star Wars. Oh, man.
We were standing in front of the TV.
I can't help it.
We were standing in front of the TV just watching it, standing
there. For like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help it.
We would have stayed there all night if we didn't have a podcast to record.
Yeah, we need to get this out to you guys. That's the dedication we have. We are willing to tear ourselves away from Star Wars to make sure that you get the podcast every Thursday. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed on iTunes or Stitcher. But before we get into sports, entertainment, and odd news, let's do a little personal recap. Mike, how was your New Year's?
It was good. I had a lot going on this past week. Obviously, New Year's Eve. I usually spend at my aunt's house with all my cousins and aunts and uncles, and that was a lot of fun. We played Italian bingo. We had lots of food.
Wait, I remember this. Yeah, what specifically is it Italian bingo?
Italian bingo is it's not really called Italian bingo. It's called tombola. I don't know why. I don't know what that means. Uh-huh. But there's 90 numbers, okay?
And it's definitely not bingo.
And no, well,
is this Keno? This is more like Keno. That's right.
I don't know what the equivalent would be. We call it tombola. But you have a card.
Tombola?
Yeah, I think it's tombola. A T. Either T or a D. I'm not sure.
You don't know?
This is how little I know about this game, yeah.
Tombola.
But you get a card that has three rows.
It kind of sounds like a gathering, like, Tombola! Tombola!
Sure, I mean, it is a gathering because it's like tradition. We always play.
Okay.
The whole family plays. It's a lot of fun. You pay, and you'd like this, you actually have to pay for your cards.
So with the family.
With the family, yeah. So you pay 50 Good. Cents per card.
Get those toddlers to chip in, all
right? Well, that's right. Even the kids have to pay, and whoever wins gets the
bearing,
money.
Free, easygoing
I know. You know, they've had
pay
all...
Pay your dues.
That's right. They should.
You know what? I like this. I'm going to institute this with my family.
You should. It's a lot of fun. Let me tell you how it's played. You get three rows of five numbers on your card, and as they call it numbers, you just, mark your numbers. And if you get one row filled in, that's cinquina, and you get
cinquina,
which is like a variation of five.
Okay.
And then if you fill in the whole card, that's tombola.
Tombola.
And that's when you win the prize money. When you fill in the whole card.
And then you
wipe it off and you do it again.
And then if you get in some sort of corner combination.
No, there's no corner combinations. It's only five.
When do you say Yahtzee?
You don't say Yahtzee. There's Cinquina and Tombola.
That's it. No, you got to invent something else.
Well, the way the cards are designed, there's nothing else. There's only three rows, so it's not like you can do. And they're like weirdly spaced. It's really unique. You have to try it sometime.
Okay. Make it look like an M.
You can't really. I'm gonna look up. There is no tomb. I'm trying to look it up online.
I feel like there should be more variations.
It's
of
not
this.
A thing.
Look.
Oh no! Wait. Maybe
Mike,
it is. A
your
thing.
Family might have made this up.
They might have made it up. I don't know. I'm trying to find it online, and it's not really a thing. But anyway, okay. that was one thing I did.
Okay. Tombola time.
I also went to the Franklin Institute Jurassic World exhibit.
Oh, I knew you would.
Week.
Yeah.
Oh,
how
man.
Was that?
It was so much fun. I don't know how much
you love dinosaurs.
I love dinosaurs.
Jurassic Park.
When I was a kid, I mean, I still love dinosaurs to this day, but if you're a fan of Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, you definitely want to go to the Franklin Institute before this exhibit leaves. It's a lot of fun. They structure it in a way that it makes it feel like you're actually going on a guided tour of the actual Jurassic World Park. So the first stop is you get ushered into this room that is set up like a cruise ship. And like you look out the, well, there's not really windows. There you go. Perfect. But it has like this ocean scene outside these fake windows. And there's like TV screens that have Jurassic World. And they hold everybody in this room. And then they have like the little introductory video. And they tell you about, you know, you're the VIPs and you have a, you know, a special tour through the park.
Ooh,
and then
you're a VIP.
Yeah. Well, it follows sort of like the story of Jurassic World. So it's like, welcome to Jurassic World. The doors open up and you walk into the park and it's all set up. Everybody's dressed as park rangers. And as you go through each exhibit and you see the animatronic dinosaurs, which are really cool, by the way. They're not just like puppets. Like the heads are moving like real close to you. And like, there's one where the dinosaur was like looming over top. But as you go through, there's like video screens. And you can see in the video screens, I don't want to spoil anything. But they get, like, emergency warnings, and they're like, oh, well, you have to cut this part of the tour short, you know, please, you know, be escorted to the next section. And then eventually the Indominus Rex breaks out, and there's this whole big scene where the Indominus Rex is, you know, in the background, and they're, like, shooting it. It was really, really fun. It was very, very unique. I highly recommend that everybody goes and checks it out while it's still in Philadelphia. They had actual props from the set of Jurassic World in the one area. They had the incubators. I'm just like, you could tell that I was like amazed by it.
You were really a kid in a candy shop.
I got to make my own postcard and email it to myself. It's terrible looking because the color schemes they had to choose from were hideous.
Were they from the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Totally radical designs. but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So that's what I did this past week.
Right. Well, there you go. Mike lived out his childhood fantasies.
I did. I finally got to go to Jurassic Park. It was really cool.
There you go.
And I also saw Fantastic Beasts. That wasn't as exciting.
Oh, the Harry Potter spinoff.
Yeah. It was all right.
Was it worthy to hang with the Harry Potter saga?
So it's interesting the fact that you get to learn more about the wizarding world. You get to learn more about like the different creatures. You get to learn about what magic is like in America because it's set in New York instead of in Britain. So you get to learn about, you know, the magic, like the wizard. They have a wizard congress in America.
A wizard congress?
Yeah, they have like their own government in America, like a wizard congress and a wizard president.
Really?
Yeah, and it's an African American female. As a wizard president.
Oh, where's
in the 1920s.
What?
Which is like, that would not happen.
No. First off, that wouldn't happen. And where's Trump? Yeah. We need wizard Trump.
First, it's set in the 1920s. So, wizard Trump.
1920s. Well, then where's Herbert Hoover?
Wizard Herbert Hoover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Silent
Cal or, you know?
Calvin Coolidge?
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. I got that reference.
There you go.
We both took the same history class.
Yes, we did.
It was interesting. I did not like the villain. They did not build the villain up enough. But the protagonists were all very likable characters, albeit a little thin.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot there to really get into. They weren't really fleshed out. A lot more was devoted to showing the creatures. and explaining the creatures and explaining magic in America rather than going through the characters and their personal stories. But all said and done, I would give it like a 7.5 out of 10.
All right, fair enough.
It was a fun, exciting, you know, typical action movie.
Okay. There you go. Mike's movie review.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yes, yes. That's what I was doing. What were you up to during the New Year's Eve week/weekend?
I have a movie review of my own.
Okay, what did you see?
I went to go see Passengers over the weekend.
That has been in the headlines, not necessarily positive.
Yep. I liked it. It had a very interesting plot, very interesting problem to deal with. And to their credit, Chris Pratt and
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, yeah.
How could you forget Jennifer Lawrence?
I almost forgot her name. I love Chris Pratt.
You remember Chris Pratt, but you forget Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Chris Pratt steals my heart.
Chris Pratt makes your heart go pitter-pat. No? Nobody heard my rhyme? That's okay.
But, pitter-pat, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Eminem over there.
I'm the real Slim Shady.
Yeah. Sure. Aren't you hip to the rap music? To their credit, they put in a great performance. Any time that they're on the screen together is worth your attention. They have very good roles in the movie.
They're both really fantastic actors too.
Yeah. My only problem was the ending. I felt like this was one of those movies where they had a great idea, great cast, great dialogue, great interaction between the characters, and then like the third act, they were just like, oh crap, how do we end this movie?
Oh no. So is this a problem with the writing? Like they didn't think it all the way through, or just that the plot sort of fell apart? There was too much going on.
No. It just kind of ends, and it kind of just
instead of an exclamation point, it was like a dot dot dot.
Yeah, and
that sucks. It's
kind of disappointing.
Because the first
two thirds of the movie is really good, and Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt just hit it out of the park. And there's also a little bit of a twist in terms of how they wake up, which was interesting.
Okay.
I think that's enough. I don't want to give okay. too much away. If you want to go see it in the theaters.
Yeah, no, please, no spoilers.
So I'll leave it at that. That there's an interesting twist in how they wake up, which. Makes the middle part of the movie very interesting.
Okay.
But I feel like, just at the end, they just kind of dropped the ball. They're just like, oh, okay. Well, you made it this far. It seems good this far. All right, let's end it.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah. But it doesn't take away from the rest of the film and their acting performances. And I'd say if you really love Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, why not go see it in the theaters? But if you're... you know, trying to save some money at the beginning of the new year, I can see this being as a table, table it to wait till it gets to Netflix or
wait for it to be on demand or something.
Yeah. But it's still worth the, I'd say it's worth to go see it if you'd like to. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. My ranking.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. That's
no, it's not bad.
Know,
no.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but the ending just kind of kills it.
But not enough to really tank its review, in your opinion, though.
Not the entire movie, though.
Okay.
And then for New Year's, I actually had a quiet New Year's. Just stayed home, watched Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest.
They
got to
fix that title.
Yeah.
got to fix that title,
it's like,
man.
Guys, I know Dick Clark is a legend and everything, but he's not there anymore. He's dead. Like, we need to...
But his legacy must live on.
Yeah.
Through Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's
Eve. I got an idea.
With Ryan Seacrest. All
right, I got an idea.
Now, wait, when Ryan Seacrest retires, are they going to keep his name in there too?
With Ryan Seacrest, yeah.
Because he's a legend. So it's Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest, hosted by Hardwick.
Yeah, whoever the next one is.
Whoever the next one is.
All right, here's what I suggest. Dick Clark can still be attached to the title if we CGI Dick Clark.
There you go. That's the solution.
There must be a CGI version of Dick Clark.
The holograms.
Yes.
Right? Get the hologram version.
Yeah. They need to do that if we're going to keep calling this Dick Clark Rockin' New Year's Eve and all that jazz.
Yeah, it's that's the a title. Weird title. Just, yeah.
But, you know, that's always fun to stay up till midnight, watch the ball drop.
Yes.
Bring in the new year.
Yeah. Did you sing Auld Lang Syne?
No, and I wasn't the only person that didn't either.
No,
yeah. So we'll cover that if you know what we're alluding to in the entertainment entree.
I didn't even mean to do that, but
there, yes, you did.
no, I didn't. But okay,
subconsciously, yeah, you did. But yeah, it was a fun weekend to have for New Year's, and now here we are in 2017. The future is here.
Yeah. How does 2017 feel so far for you?
You know what?
I mean, it's only been like a few days.
I feel luckier now that we officially closed 16, because 16 just ended.
16 was rough.
16 was rough, and it ended horribly.
The last 2 months, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, so I'm glad that we're in the new year, and we're here bringing you the first episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast for 2017, and let's launch into our first batch of news topics. We group them into sports, and we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you. In your face in our first segment here. And
I love this.
Yeah.
Because we're changing things up a little bit here.
Yeah, we're changing things up here. Usually we do a two-minute drill, but things were so bad and so disappointing to end the sports year for 2016 that instead of a two-minute drill, we are going to do the disappointment drill. Yeah, we need to... We need some emotional music. We can't rush this.
No.
Wow. There's just so many disappointing things that happened to close out the year. Do you want me to kickstart this?
Sure.
I already know.
Who's having a bad... Who's the first person to have a bad day? Had a bad day.
Yeah. I know you like this song. Yeah. That's a shame. Daniel Powder. This is the only hit song that's associated with disappointment.
It is. It is a depressing song a little bit.
Yeah.
So this person had a really bad day, though.
Yeah, and the first person I want to talk about is Ronda Rousey, man.
Oh, boy.
She waited a whole year to come back from the stench of losing her title to Holly Holm in the UFC women's division. And she trains for a year. She goes actually completely media silent, too, which is unlike her.
Yeah.
She's usually one of the first people to start trash talking her opponents. She doesn't do that for a full year leading up to this fight against I forgot her name.
Yeah.
Nunes.
Oh, okay. There we go.
This one was hard to watch. The fight lasted around 43 seconds. 43,
yeah, somewhere in the 40-ish second range, I think.
Yeah. And it's hilarious when I hear UFC people going, oh, here are the highlights. What highlights? The whole fight was 43 seconds.
So, funny story, over New Year's Eve, I was talking about it with my cousins. I said, oh, yeah, I watched a 30-second GIF of the end of the match. And like, oh, no, that wasn't the end of the match. That was the match. Because the match was so short. It was basically all captured in one GIF.
To put it short and sweet, Ronda Rousey just gave up when this right hand just hit from Nunes, just hit Rousey right in the face, and that was pretty much the end of it. She really wasn't even defending herself. If you take a look at some of the clips from it, it's just, you knew that was it. That strike that landed, bam, that was it. That put her out of her element. She wasn't defending herself. She got shoved up against the wall, and then before you know it, the ref had to call it off. 43 seconds.
Yeah, she was defeated right from the get-go.
Yeah.
She was just not into it, which, to me, makes me think that I don't know how she comes back from this. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how her career bounces back.
Right.
After the
this
big,
was a
big loss
fight.
Yeah, after the big loss a year ago, now this, the return fight. She also loses.
Yeah, and not only loses, but she goes down fast.
Yeah, real fast.
Yeah. So it's
is this the end of Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, I think this might be the end for Ronda. Which is a shame because she brought so much to, not just UFC, but to just the women in sports.
Yeah,
I mean,
she was huge that year before she lost that last match.
She was in WrestleMania. She was covering video games. She was on magazine covers.
Yeah.
And now, I believe she's 30 years old. Now she's at the end? Like, wow.
I think she's at the end. Yeah. I don't know how she bounces back from that.
Here's something else that I want to mention in this segment about Ronda Rousey is, you know, we cover sports in the Sports Sampler, and we always say, you know, we always hear about, you know, the triumphs of victory, and then there's also the flip side, the flip side of that, the agony of defeat. And I think this audio clip that UFC pulled from Ronda Rousey's coach pretty much just highlights the agony of defeat here. This is obviously it's not that long. It's a 40-second clip of Ronda's coach in her corner yelling at her to, you know, try and do better in the match. And I think it pretty much just exemplifies the agony of defeat here. So here you go. This is the clip.
Head movement! Head movement! Yes, move!
Here we go!
Head up! Head up! Hands up! Catcher! Clinch!
Get to the head!
Head movement! Good job, Jeff! Move! Move! Move, please! Clinch.
All right, so he was saying protect the face,
yeah.
reach, and then this is where Ronda stumbles.
Yeah,
it's one of those.
You can hear the pain in his voice.
Yeah, I forget which Rocky movie it is, but Mick says it's either one or two. It's probably the second one. Mick says something like, "Every hit you took, you know, I felt it too," and like that's just the example right there. You know, just this was so heartbreaking for the Ronda Rousey corner.
Yeah, really.
You know, especially going down that fast, it's painful. How do you get back up from this?
I don't think she does.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think she does. The way that she handled the last loss, she had to take a year off and then comes right back and has another loss. It's really sad to say, but I think this might be the last we see of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Unless she really turns things around. But you look at that fight, she just didn't seem in it.
No.
Like mentally and physically, she just seemed out of it.
No. And at no point was she able to get Amanda Nunes to the ground.
Yeah.
That's a huge factor in UFC mixed martial arts, is getting your opponent to the ground at some point, and that never happened at all in this fight. Yeah. So it's very disappointing performance there, but you know, at least I got to give props to Ronda Rousey. She at least tried, you know.
She
came back.
Yeah, she made an attempt.
We had a story last year that after she lost the fight to Holly Holm, she was suffering from bouts of depression, and she had thoughts of suicide.
Yeah, she was really in some dark places there. So you like to see that she did, you know, make an attempt to come back.
Yeah,
you know that she was able to overcome that. But that's why I also think that this might be the final straw.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if she makes another attempt to come back,
and if it is, I still think Ronda Rousey goes down as one of the best of all time. But
just, I mean, she changed how popular UFC was.
Yeah, she did.
For that year that she was on top, like, people were paying attention to UFC that hadn't really paid attention to UFC before.
Yeah.
She became a household name.
She changed Dana White's opinion of female fighters. White said he was never going to allow female fighters in the UFC until he saw, I think it was Strikeforce and Ronda Rousey coming through the system. So she really changed the game.
Yeah, she was a household name. How many UFC fighters can you name?
Yeah, just all the women.
Ronda Rousey, yeah. I can't name a single one besides Ronda Rousey.
But disappointing performance there from Ronda Rousey as she loses her first MMA fight after taking a year off. Might be the end of her career. Hopefully it's not, but it could be. Keep an eye on any UFC news making the rounds in the upcoming weeks. All right.
But she wasn't the only one that suffered disappointing loss.
We got more disappointment to go around, and this one is for a local college football team, Penn State. First, they didn't get into the National College Playoff. They have to settle in the Rose Bowl, and then they blow it in the Rose Bowl. They were up. They had a 14-point lead going into the fourth quarter. against USC at the Rose Bowl, and everything came apart.
Yeah.
USC scored 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to pull from behind and win the Rose Bowl from Penn State.
I think it was the highest scoring Rose Bowl game ever.
Yeah, I mean, 52-49. Yep. By the way, that's more points than the Los Angeles Rams scored in Los Angeles this whole NFL season.
That's really bad.
Yeah. So there you go. But, state of football in California right now.
Yeah, Penn State lost. This was a big one. I know Penn State is hurting because they love their football over there.
Yeah,
in Penn State.
But yeah, it was just they blew it. Simple as that. You can't allow 17 unanswered points
when you're up by two
in the fourth quarter.
When you're up by two touchdowns.
Yeah, don't
like
you can't get too conservative. You gotta still finish the game.
Yeah, you know you gotta keep pushing, but you know it's. Oh, whenever you blow a lead that big, it's just so heartbreaking for that team. I'm not personally heartbroken because I'm not really a Penn State fan. But I
why
don't,
not? Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Stick to Pennsylvania.
I don't know. What's that? Were you trying to do song. Canyonero?
Yeah. Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I don't know. new song.
No, but I know a lot of people who are Penn State fans in the area, and I know they're really, really disappointed. Because Penn State was like their last hope for football.
Yeah, because the Eagles didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll see about the Steelers, but right now, this is it.
Well, when I say Pennsylvania football, I mean like the Eastern half.
Well, Pittsburgh's in Pennsylvania, Mike.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
you hate the Steelers so much.
No, I don't hate the Steelers. It's just two different states.
No, it's not. It's the same state.
No, it's Eastern Pennsylvania, Western
Pennsylvania. No, it's not. It's at the bottom of the address.
You can't cheer for the Steelers.
Why not? It's Pennsylvania.
No.
No. Who are you going to root for then?
The Patriots.
Oh, you bastard.
I always root for the Patriots.
You are a bastard. You would rather root for the New England Patriots than the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah.
You traitor. You're... All right, that's it.
Why should the Steelers win a seventh Super Bowl and the Eagles haven't won anything?
Because it's Pennsylvania.
No, because
same state.
Sometimes I think when my family came over here to America, if they just settled 6 hours more west, I'd be sitting there going, oh, how many rings do you have? No, instead, they settled here in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and I go, well, gee, shucks, maybe we'll win one in the next 50 years. That's why I don't like this. I got really mad.
Yeah, poor Mike.
That's why I don't like the Steelers.
Poor Mike.
Because it could have been totally different. I'm having it. This add me to the disappointment drill list. Because I had a bad day. The Steelers can't win because my Eagles really, really suck.
Okay. I really like this version.
Calm. All right. End scene. All right.
Well, there's a bigger disappointment in the college football world.
Yeah, oddly enough, Penn State wasn't the biggest disappointment in college football.
Yeah, because if you keep going west past Pittsburgh, there's Ohio State. What the hell happened to this supposed powerhouse of a team? This is the one I'm
It's the Ohio State.
No, it's not anymore.
It is the Ohio State.
Screw you, Ohio State people. All right, you officially lost the ability to say the with your name, all right? 31-0 in the national semifinal game against Clemson.
That's bad.
Ohio State is the reason why Penn State didn't get into the national championship playoffs, and they put up a dud like this. I'm more pissed off over at Ohio State.
So are you officially revoking their right to the article the?
Yes. They are not allowed to ever say the Ohio State anymore.
So they're just Ohio State.
Yes. You're
like every other school
right,
in the country.
You are demoted to all the other regular schools. I don't even know how you earned the to begin with.
Yeah, why do they do that?
All right, you want a couple.
The Ohio
State. You want
State.
It a couple times. Ooh.
It's on their website.
Yeah, so
no,
arrogant.
No, their website is the Ohio State University. What is this nonsense?
Arrogant. You're arrogant and good. You put up 30. You put up 0 points in a national semifinal primetime.
You
got to
score at least three.
Yeah, something.
Come on, you got to kick a field goal.
Something. No, nothing. You put up a goose egg, so you get no article.
You lose.
So, yeah, you
good
lose.
Good day, Ohio State.
Yes, you lose.
You get nothing.
You get no articles. Good day, Ohio State. That's who I'm really more pissed off at. Oh my gosh, because they think that all because of Ohio State, Penn State didn't get a spot in the national.
Yeah.
College playoff bracket, and Ohio State goes in and they put up a clunker like that. How dare
I'm not heartbroken over either of them. I'm just over here. I'm smiling at the thought of these two teams losing.
You're still stewing over there about
the Steelers
Eagles and the Steelers. but that's the third team on our disappointment drill. Ben, to me, in my opinion, that's the biggest disappointment.
Oh no!
But
there's one disappointment, Mike, that's even bigger.
Yep, Mike has a bigger one.
I'm so excited that I get to say this.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Yep. Breathe.
Okay.
Breathe in. Wait. How about I play some official news music for you?
Okay.
And Mike has the report here.
Breaking news, everyone. The Antichrist Chip Kelly himself has been fired by the San Francisco 49ers after one season with the team. He took the team to a 2-14 record, even with the perfect quarterback, quote unquote, for his system. I'm so happy.
By the way, those
my heart is filled with joy, Rich. 2017 is going to be great.
You were so happy reading this.
I was really happy. I hate Chip Kelly. Set our team back at least 5 or 6 years.
And now he might have done it with the 49ers as well.
To be fair, the 49ers already set themselves back 5 or 6 years. He just kind of put the icing on the cake.
Those two wins, by the way, both came against the Rams. So, poor man.
That's why Jeff Fisher was fired.
Yeah, California's not having a good week right now.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, no, because USC won.
Oh, yeah. So Damn it. Bastards. But anyway, yeah, Chip Kelly fired after one season with the 49ers.
I'm going to follow him around his entire career and keep tabs on him and make sure that he doesn't stay at any football program for longer than a year.
Well, guess what? I don't think he might have another job after this.
Really?
What other team is going to take a risk on him?
A college team.
You think he's going to, well, even if
he could go back to college.
Could.
College coaches are like superstars.
They could. Yeah, he could go back to college. I mean, that's where he did thrive. But
that's where his system works, because in college you can plug in any player that you want to in the system and it works. In the pros, you can't do that.
But don't you think Chip Kelly's going to want to try and stay at the National Football League level?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. He's a very enigmatic character.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you listen to him and you think like, oh, like this is his dream.
Do you think he's going to be the next Nick Saban? He's just going to give up and head back to college?
He might. Like I said, he's enigmatic. I don't know what to make of him. I don't know if this is really what he wants, is to coach NFL football, or if what he really wants is an audience for his escapades. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Look at what he did in Philadelphia. It was all media S storms and, you know, like crazy, stupid offensive schemes. Did the same thing in San Francisco. So I don't know if he really wants to be an NFL coach or whether he just wants
the attention.
Well,
if he wants the attention, then he's going to stick at the professional level, because that's where you get all the media hype.
I don't know. Yeah, but in college, you're revered as a god.
If
you're a good coach. Well, he did win in college.
Yeah.
Well, he was worshipped.
He can't go back to Oregon. Oregon just hired a head coach. He missed his window there.
The Ohio State should hire him.
No, he's not the Ohio State. It's just Ohio State.
Okay, Ohio State should hire him.
Yeah, good. Have
or
fun
Penn
with
State.
Him. No, not Penn State. No. No.
Why not?
No, that would be bad. But
Chip Kelly is bad. Yeah, he should feel bad. I hate him.
One more note with the 49ers.
Yes.
So they fired Chip Kelly this season. Last year they fired Jim Tomasula.
Right.
Both in the middle of their contracts. So the 49ers actually owe, between the last two coaches they fired, $45 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Good job.
They're
there.
Just burning through money.
Yeah, I guess they don't have a money problem.
I always say this, if you feel like throwing money away, you could just give it to me.
Yeah, give it to the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll have some fun with it.
I'll never understand, like, companies or businesses or like, organizations, teams, they're just pissing away money.
Yeah.
Pissing away in my direction.
You will accept the piss.
I will accept the piss, yes. If it's in the form of money.
Mike will take a golden shower.
Wow.
If it comes with money.
If the gold is in the form of coins. Yeah. All right, let's be specific. Careful now.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of former Eagles head coaches, the Eagles, you know, in a way, this is somewhat disappointing, too.
It is.
The Eagles had a win over the Cowboys backups It's not they won over the Dallas Cowboys. It's they won over the Dallas Cowboys backups.
Yeah, you have to keep that in perspective.
Yeah. This final score was 27-13, but it was pretty much a close game throughout the entire game. Anything that you want to say to end the Eagles season on? Yeah.
I think that's basically it. No,
Don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining.
That's it.
I feel like that's what the Eagles are going to try and pull here. They're like, oh, we beat the Cowboys. We beat the Cowboys. Division rival. Am I happy they beat the Cowboys? Sure. But it really wasn't the Cowboys.
No, it was the backups.
Ezekiel Elliott never touched the field.
They should have put in the score box, you know.
An asterisk.
They have Eagles, PHI for Philadelphia. They should have had DCB, Dallas Cowboy backups.
There you go. It was, you know, even though they had the backups in it, it was tight there at times. You know, it was a close game for most of the game until the fourth quarter. But in terms of positives, let's go over the good, bad, the bad, and the ugly. In terms of positives, Zach Ertz had a phenomenal game. Carson Wentz had a really good game. But both of those people, their stats can be attributed to playing against the Dallas Cowboys backup defenders.
Yep.
Right, Sean Lee wasn't in the lineup. So Zach Ertz does not have that game if Sean Lee is playing. I'm sorry, he doesn't.
Nope.
No way does he have that game.
No.
Jordan Hicks, though, had a really good game, and I still think you can give him credit because he was all over the field making plays. Two interceptions. He is turning into a fantastic middle linebacker, so I hope that he continues to progress. In terms of bad for this game, Nolan Carroll, what was up with him?
Yeah, he was missing left and right and had a couple of huge penalties.
Two big penalties. He gave up a touchdown. He bit hard on a double move right there at the goal line. I mean, come on. You gotta be smarter than that. But the other big thing, and I don't know how I feel about this, but Tony Romo came into the game, and he led the Cowboys down the field and scored probably his last touchdown as a Dallas Cowboy.
Yep.
Against the
Eagles.
You
know why?
Why?
That upped his trade value.
It did up his trade
value.
Simple
as that.
Yeah.
That let the league know that he still got it.
Yeah. Well, and he really did. I mean, he marched them down. He was efficient. He was their best passer.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when we were looking to when the Phillies were looking to trade Cole Hamels, and the week before the trade deadline, Cole Hamels threw a no-hitter, you know? It was like that statement, like, hey, he's still got it. He's valuable.
Yeah.
If you want him, you know, we'll trade him, but you're going to pay for it. That's what I felt like that was to the league.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He's going to be a hot commodity this offseason. Do the Eagles bring in Tony Romo, a veteran, to back up Carson Wentz?
No.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
No. Not hilarious. Not funny. No.
I don't know how I would feel about that.
No. The answer's no.
It won't happen.
No, it won't. Send Tony Romo to Jacksonville.
Yeah, they could use a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he won't have to play against us.
Blake Bortles, whoever the hell that is. He fell off the map.
Yeah, he really did. Jeez.
Yeah.
But how did you feel about seeing Tony Romo play against the Eagles one last time? He's been a bitter enemy for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And to know that it's like truly the end of an era now.
I wanted him to get hurt.
Wow. You're like, come on, one more time.
I was hoping there'd be just like one takedown sack. You know,
I was hoping to see that against Dak Prescott. They left him in there for an entire quarter.
Yeah, I was hoping they get like a body slam on Tony Romo, and they'd be like, oh, that's it.
You know, I have to admit, it was very dramatic and almost movie-esque, the idea that, you know, you've been playing against this quarterback for the past 10 years, and he comes in and he plays his final drive as a Dallas Cowboys against one of your most bitter rivals. It's like something you would see in like a cheesy sports movie, you know? I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it.
No. In terms of
gladiators on the field, he was such a hated and feared rival.
No. You're missing the bigger picture here.
What?
If you really wanted this to be a movie, it would be Dallas goes to the NFC Championship game and they have to face off against the Giants, and Prescott gets hurt and Romo
and Tony
has
to
Romo
come has
in.
To come in. Yeah,
that would be the movie scenario.
That would be the movie scenario. I mean, this is like a B-list movie.
Yeah,
okay?
It's the Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys, yeah. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is a little part of me is sad that the era is over because it was such a great rivalry for so long facing off against Tony Romo these past 10 years. We had our ups, we had our downs, and now he's gone. Now we have Dak Prescott.
Yeah, the best fourth-round quarterback pick
that ever. That annoys me so much. Ugh. But you know what? Dallas always does that. They stumbled backwards into Tony Romo, and they stumbled ass backwards into Dak Prescott. Tony Romo was undrafted.
Yep.
The Eagles, they will sacrifice everybody's firstborn son to get Carson Wentz, and he has a first-season quarterback rating of like 70. Oh, thanks. That's what our first round. He had like 16 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. If we wanted those numbers, we should have just kept Sam Bradford.
Yeah, right? At this rate? Poor Mike.
It's just been very frustrating.
Mike's
this
in
season.
Trouble over here. All right. Well, since we're looking towards the Cowboys and everything, there's something I want to do before we get to our predictions, and that is to give you my gambling addiction.
Oh, that's right. I forgot something in the rundown.
Yeah, I wanted to give you my gambling perspective. This is our quick take, gambling odds for who's going to win the Super Bowl. And I got my gambling music. Oh, yeah, time to go to the bookies. Oh, yeah, Mike, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
We're doing it. We're hitting Vegas.
Yep, hitting Vegas here. Should I do it by the favorite first or the long shot? Where should I go?
Let's start with, let's move our way up okay. the order.
All right,
let's start with the long shot.
The long shot is the Oakland Raiders because they lost Derek Carr.
Okay.
Vegas is not confident in them. They slipped to the fifth seed, so they have to go on the road. Their odds are 115-1.
Wow. For a 12-14?
Yeah, for a 12-14.
You know what, though? I totally agree. Because Derek Carr was such a big part of that team.
Yeah. You know what? In all fairness, they probably won't make it out the first round.
Probably not.
No. Next is the Miami Dolphins. Oh, no, it's a tie. Sorry. I have this list here up and down. It's a three-way tie between the Lions, the Texans, and the Dolphins. They're all at 90-1 to win the Super Bowl.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, those teams that are like, you know, right there on the cusp of just barely making the playoffs. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Coming up next, and this is the one that grabbed news headlines because of the numbers here. The New York Giants are actually ranked 18-1, which is the record the Patriots ended up with after the Giants beat them.
Oh, my gosh.
The undefeated season.
Rich, it's a sign.
It's Illuminati.
Patriots and Giants
round
in the Super
three.
Bowl, round three. Can Tom Brady finally defeat the amazing Eli Manning?
Well, if you believe so and you have money, it's 18-1 shot on the New York Giants. So you can make some money there.
I'll just say this. If they do end up making the Super Bowl, they will win.
The Giants?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Because they can't lose in the Super Bowl. Eli Manning is the dopiest, most efficient passer in the playoffs. He's like, duh, what do I do? Throw a touchdown? Okay. And they just win games left and right.
Let me just toss it up.
Let me just toss it up. Oh, my God. We scored. No, am I right or am I right?
That's what he did in the Super Bowls, yeah.
In the regular season, he can barely complete passes without throwing interceptions. Gets to the postseason, and he's like Peyton Manning times two.
Right, the elite switch gets turned on.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next is the Seattle Seahawks, 14-1. But that bothers you.
That's a stretch.
That bothers you. You got the thing because they have the tie.
They're not good, Rich.
Okay.
They're not. They're 10-5-1. But we were talking about this before the podcast. Their conference record is like in the toilet.
Yeah.
They do not strike me as dominant as they usually are.
All right, so Mike's going to avoid that one.
Yeah.
Coming up next is Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs, Big Red, at 10-1. Would you take that?
I mean, that's pretty good. The Chiefs were very good this season. The only thing is that their defense, while tough, is shaky at times.
Wow.
Yeah, that comes into play in the playoffs.
10-1? That'd be an interesting bet. You put $10 down, you get 100 back.
I mean, yeah, sure, as a bet, I would take that. Yeah. I just don't think they're going to win it.
Coming up next, another tie. And this is weird, though. One with a bye team and one with a team that doesn't have a bye.
Okay.
The Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons both are at 19-2. So just under 10-1. Which I think is weird because the Packers have to win another game compared to the Falcons. Falcons have the bye week.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the reason why they're both rated the same is because the Packers are on a hot streak, whereas the Falcons had an easier division.
That's true.
Well, I say that, but the Packers had an easy division this year, too.
Well
I mean, the Lions did make it.
Yeah. And the Vikings were in until last week.
But something about the Falcons doesn't sit right with me. Okay. Like I know they're in the playoffs, but part of me thinks like they probably won't do very much.
All right.
I don't know. That's just me.
Coming up next, the team that you hate, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-1. Is that pretty high for a 3 seed? I think you might go with overrated on this one.
I don't know. What was it, 9-1?
9-1, yeah.
The Steelers were very shaky there in the middle of the season. They lost to the Eagles.
Yes, they did.
Like, big-time loss to the Eagles.
Bigly,
yeah. The only thing is that their first game is against the Dolphins. They'll probably beat the Dolphins. Their path to the Super Bowl isn't that difficult. You know, as I'm looking at it, unless they have to face off against the Patriots, that's the only team that could stop them, I think. So I'm looking at the rest of the field, like, what do you have? The Chiefs? I mean, they're good, but the Steelers beat the Chiefs this year, didn't they?
I believe so.
I think they crushed them.
And then to wrap it up, number two, the Dallas Cowboys are a 15-4 shot, so they're the favorite in the NFC to win the Super Bowl. But the overall number one is still the New England Patriots, 8-5, so you're not making much if you're betting on the Patriots.
I'm just going to move to Boston and become a Patriots fan.
Well, hold on. This is only what Vegas says. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
No, they're going to win. I'm calling it right now. They're going to win. When you look at the playoff field, all the other teams, they're just not as good. When you look at the 12 teams, who beats the Patriots other than the Cowboys?
Oh, God, I hope it's not a Cowboys-Patriots Super Bowl.
It will be, and the Patriots will win.
No.
Look, Raiders, no Derek Carr, they're out of it. Texans,
Let's go, Steelers!
I honestly think the Steelers are like the third best team in these playoffs. The Seahawks, I don't trust. You can't trust a team that tied. The Texans and the Raiders are out of it immediately because they don't have quarterbacks. The Falcons, I don't trust them. The Chiefs, it's Andy Reid. He's going to choke it away in the championship game.
All right. Well, hold on. All right. Now you're getting
into I know. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah,
here.
Now you're jumping into actual predictions. And if we're going to do that, then let's launch into our Fantastic Four picks. But we do something a little bit different for the playoffs. We change up the music a little bit and
make it really stressful.
It gets increasingly stressful as it goes on. But since this is the easy wild card round, let's start off with the basic music here and launch into the first game. This is going to be a horrible game.
This is going to be terrible.
This might be the worst playoff game ever. Raiders at Texans.
Yeah. So the Oakland, I don't understand how the Oakland Raiders go 12-4 and they have to play in the first round of the playoffs. That's just crazy. But the Oakland Raiders are traveling to Houston to face off against the 9-7 Texans. It's going to be the Texans. I hate to say it, Raiders fans. You don't have Derek Carr.
Yeah, he was the cornerstone of that offense.
I think was he the best quarterback? I don't think if he wasn't the best quarterback, he was definitely like the second or third best quarterback.
Yeah, he's the cornerstone of that offense. It just doesn't work without him.
No.
And Texans are going to be at home. Just give the ball to Lamar Miller. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, really, you have DeAndre Hopkins. You have Lamar Miller. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, though. That's the only question. But I think that
they're going with Brock Lobster.
Brock Lobster.
Yep.
The only other thing is that the Texans do have actually a really good defense. According to my statistics, the first-ranked defense.
Well, so, I think it's going to be a wrap up there. Texans win that game.
Yeah, same. So let's go to maybe a potentially more interesting game as the Detroit Lions travel to Seattle to face off against the Seahawks. Rich, how do you feel about this one? Will the Seahawks be able to repeat past playoff glory, or will the Lions finally win one?
I think so for this first round. Seattle gets the benefit of a home game here. The Lions coming off a very disappointing week 17 where they could have won the division, but they choked it away to the Packers. I think Seattle takes this one at home.
Yeah, at home, Seattle, that defense, they just, they're too good at home. I think they'll be able to get by the Lions. I don't think they'll last much longer than that. I think they'll probably lose in the next round, but I think for this round, they're safe. The Lions barely made it. Okay, they were hot and cold all season. So I'm going with the Seahawks on this one, too.
Okay, next up,
the Miami Dolphins are traveling to Pittsburgh to face off against the Steelers. It's a Sunday afternoon game. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
Dolphins, they're hurting, too. They lost their quarterback. They're down to Matt Moore. The only good thing that they have going for them is Jay Ajayi, which he's been a great running back for them, and he's going to continue to be a great franchise running back, but I don't think it's in the cards in this one. They have to go to Pittsburgh. Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, that offense is stacked. I see Pittsburgh winning this one at home. I don't see how Miami's going to be able to compete.
Yeah, I think that Miami's running back will have a good game, but I don't know if it's enough to topple the Steelers. The Steelers just have too many weapons. They have too much going for them, especially at home. Boy, this playoff, the more I'm looking at it, it's like the playoff of injuries.
Yeah, it is.
The Raiders, the Texans, Futility. The Dolphins, yeah. So I'm gonna go with the team that has all their weapons present. You got to go with the Steelers, I think.
Yep.
And finally, to wrap it up, actually, this is a team that doesn't have many injuries. New York Giants at Green Bay Packers facing off in the Sunday afternoon game.
Well, Green Bay did.
Well, Green
a
Bay
A lot
did.
Of running backs went down.
But they both have their elite quarterbacks present, so how do you think this one's going to shape up?
This is probably going to be the most competitive one. Green Bay Packers are on an amazing six-game winning streak. The Giants, we just all know how volatile they can be in the playoffs. They could, for all we know, this could be the beginning of another Super Bowl run. You just never know with the Giants. I think Green Bay gets the edge just because it's at home, but the problem with the Packers is they are very one-dimensional. Their running game doesn't get off the ground. And if everything's going to come down to Aaron Rodgers, I think at some point the luck's going to give. You know, how much longer can Aaron Rodgers keep sustaining a game after a game after a game after a game with no running game? So I think if there is any visiting team that's going to win, I think it's going to be this week. I think the Giants could knock off the Packers.
So I have a pretty dangerous statistic for the Green Bay Packers. They have the 31st ranked pass defense.
Uh-oh.
If there's one thing Eli can do, he can pass in the postseason.
Yep.
Especially with Odell Beckham. Here's the thing. The Packers are good at home, except in past years, they've lost at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
And if there's going to be a team that beats the Dallas Cowboys and stops them from getting the Super Bowl,
it's the Giants.
It has They've to be the it. Giants. They've done it twice before this season. I'm going with the Giants on this one. I hate to pick a division team, but remember, people, we have to stop the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's keep things in perspective. Green Bay will not be able to stop the Cowboys.
No.
There's no way. The Giants, on the other hand, I think they at least have a shot. I'm going with the Giants.
Okay, and there you go.
Are we in agreement on all picks?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But there you are. Fantastic four picks for the wild card round. Our special music in full effect.
I like it.
Yeah. And each week it will keep getting more dramatic. So another fun tidbit as we march into the playoffs.
Tune in next week where the music increases in drama.
Slightly.
A slight increase.
Yeah. It's not too much, but slightly. But there you go. Our fantastic four picks for the wild card round. Yep, and there you go. One more fun fact before we end the sports sampler. The
sure.
Oakland Raiders and the Houston Texans game.
Yeah.
It's so bad right now. That game's going to be broadcasted on ESPN. ESPN had to pay $100 million for the rights to broadcast this wild card game. Now, they didn't know beforehand that it was going to be Raiders versus Texans. It was
right.
just, hey, you guys get the first AFC wild card game, right?
Right.
So they can't sell ad space to justify the $100 million cost it was to buy the rights to this game. And from recent news reports, they're saying the net loss is going to be around $75 million.
How do you lose money on an NFL game?
Right. That's how, like, bad.
Unless it's like 49ers and Jaguars in London. There's no way you can lose money on a football game.
That's how bad.
Wow. Well, it is. It's such a shame. I feel so bad for the Raiders. They were so good all year. First time they had a winning record since 2002.
And their quarterback goes down.
Yeah.
It's life isn't fair, and that's definitely one of the cases.
Yep. Well, that was the theme for sports. Disappointment after disappointment.
Yeah. But here, 2017, it's time to turn it around. New year, new playoffs. And please, God, don't let the Cowboys win.
Yes. Please hear our prayers.
Yes.
But you know what? We had a disappointing sports sampler, but that's all right, because coming up the entertainment entree, we're looking forward to some things we're interested in this year for entertainment.
That's right. So coming up next, we have the entertainment entree, and then the first batch of odd news for 2017, the non-fortune cookie odd news. Oh, yeah, we still got plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back. This is the Chris Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Before we continue on with the show, there's one thing that I personally have to mention, and I'd be remiss if I didn't, and that was just heartbreaking news that came out over the holidays, that was our own princess, Carrie Fisher, passed away at the age of 60 due to complications from a heart attack suffered. It was definitely jarring news.
Yeah.
I mean, first the heart attack news came out,
right,
and that was jarring. And then when
it was 4 days later,
yeah, when we heard the news later that she officially passed away, it was surreal. It felt like it almost felt like I had lost a loved one or something.
It was very shocking and very sad. Because Carrie Fisher had recently re-entered the spotlight, obviously with Star Wars getting a big revival with Episode 7 and Rogue One, and you know, Episode 8 coming out this year, 2017 now. But yeah, you know, it was very shocking because she had the heart attack, and then they said she was in stable condition, and then a few days later she had passed.
Yeah. A big blow to the acting community, the feminist community.
Yeah.
Animal rights community. She was a big animal rights advocate. It was definitely saddening to hear that news. And then to hear the next day that her mom died as well, Debbie Reynolds. It was just a bad 1-2 punch. It felt like someone in my family died. It was very personal.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So you grew up watching her countless times and in the original trilogy. I mean, I did too, watch the original trilogy many times.
Yeah. My favorite thing about the whole Princess Leia character is the fact that she's a woman that doesn't take any crap from anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's a role model for girls to look up to, you know. Sure, she was a princess in distress, but she held her own.
Yeah,
you know,
she was a princess in distress, but it was sort of out of her control. As soon as she could take control of the situation, she did.
Yeah,
you know. I think this is interesting,
and I think it's also kind of a carbon copy of who Carrie Fisher was.
Yeah.
You know, she had some drug problems and she had mental problems, but she
didn't take crap from people.
Yeah, she didn't let it stop her from being what she wanted to be.
Yeah.
And you can see that with her novels that she wrote, her autobiography. She had a stand-up special. She just didn't let it stop her. And I think she's a good role model for not just women, for everybody to look up to.
Yeah. I saw something online a few years ago where somebody cut together all the dialogue from female characters in Star Wars that aren't Princess Leia. And it was like 4 seconds, and people were like, oh, look, it's not very diverse. But I think that's really a disservice to the incredible work Carrie Fisher did, because, yeah, maybe there weren't that many female characters, but Carrie Fisher was one of the strongest female characters in a genre and in a time when there weren't many strong female leads.
Yeah.
You know? So what she did for film, for science fiction, for that franchise was just incredible.
Yeah. Also, on another interesting note, I loved her cameos in Scream 3 and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. She seemed like she was the kind of person that could take a joke as well as dish it out as well. So
yeah,
she wasn't just one dimensional. You know, she had a comedic side as well. Oh, she was also in Blues Brothers too. So yeah, it just sucked. Yeah. That's pretty much the only thing I can describe. It
was a very shocking end to 2016.
Yeah, damn you, 2016.
I know, it's like just when we were about to like escape from its clutches, it's like surprise.
Yeah,
it was like the worst surprise ever. But everyone is very sad to see Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, pass away.
Yeah. But if there is a bright side, it's that she finished a bright side to her career. It's the fact that she finished all of her filming for Episode 8. So we will see her one more time
in
the Star Wars universe.
One more time this fall.
Yeah. A legend passing at the close of 2016, Carrie Fisher, dead at the age of 60, broke my heart. That's the best way I can sum it up. Broke my heart. But here's something that can help make me feel better and help mend it, and that is our next segment. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
And it is a reminder, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Yes. I texted Mike.
Now I remember the text message.
I texted Mike, and he forgot to remind me during the sports sampler that anytime the Cowboys, we talk about the Cowboys good or the Cowboys possibly winning the Super Bowl, I told Mike, we're going to play the glory hole clip so that Jerry Jones can have his precious glory hole days.
It is a reminder, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
I want me some glory hole.
This sounds so wrong. Is he aware of what a glory hole is?
I don't think so. I think he was trying to say glory hall or glory something else. I don't think he was trying to say glory hole, but
glory hole
out.
Days. That's not a thing. That's not a phrase.
I don't know.
Is that a phrase in Texas? Maybe?
I don't know.
That's
what
a
else
Texas
was,
thing.
I really doubt he was really trying to say glory hole.
There's glory hole days.
If he is, he's a sick person, man. Wow, Jerry Jones getting it on. I didn't realize he swung this way.
Yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed.
It was erotic.
Yeah, I think maybe he might need to be added to the Odd News sound clips.
It is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I just want to isolate the part where he says, I want me some glory hole.
I want me some glory hole.
There you go. You just want that?
Yeah, I just want that. I feel like that could be a good addition to the soundboard, don't you?
I think so, too.
I want me
so
some.
Having said that, I want me some glory hole.
I want me some glory hole.
I want me some glory. It's just perfect. From the Texas twang to the incorrect anguish to the glory hole. It's just a perfect little snippet.
I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
I want me some glory hole. I love it. You know what? Yeah, I think we're going to have to add it to the soundboard.
I think it's definitely got to be an addition.
Yeah.
I want me some glory hole.
So
that should be on his tombstone.
Jerry Jones.
I want me some glory hole.
I always wanted some glory hole.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
God bless him.
Good way to
kick off. Thank you for that. I hate you for the Cowboys, but thank you for that clip.
Yes, thank you, Jerry Jones. Glory old days. All right. So there you go. Our random sound clip for the week there. All right. Now it's time for the weekly segment where Mike lets you know what's going on in movies, TV, and video games for this week. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Old days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so, having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Yep, Mike, we got some glory hole coming up.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we have any glory holes coming up.
I want me some glory hole.
But if you're heading to the movie theaters, you can check out some movies. First up, we have.
Go ahead, Mike.
I just can't stop thinking of the glory holes now.
You can't think of Jerry Jones in the same way.
Said that, I want me some glory hole.
There you go.
This might not be as good as a good old-fashioned glory hole for Jerry Jones, but maybe it's the next best thing. If you're heading to the movies, make sure to check out A Monster Calls. This new fantasy drama stars Felicity Jones, Sigourney Weaver, and Liam Neeson. It's been gaining popularity in the film festival circuit, and it's finally having a wide release. And it's doing very well critically. It has an 89 on Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh, with over 114 reviews, with an average rating of 7.7 out of 10. It sounds really interesting. It's a coming-of-age story about a 12-year-old dealing with his mother's terminal illness. And a less than sympathetic grandmother and bullying classmates, he finds an unlikely ally when a monster appears at his bedroom window. Ancient, wild, and relentless, the monster guides the young boy on a journey of courage, faith, and truth. The trailer to me seems like a combination of Pan's Labyrinth, The Iron Giant, and Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy. It sounds really interesting. It's a unique film that sort of slipped under the radar, so if you're looking for some fantasy drama, go check out A Monster Calls. If you want to stay in and watch some TV, there's a couple of good TV shows coming back this week. Grimm returns for its final season Friday at 8 p.m. on NBC. For those unfamiliar with Grimm, it tells the story of a cop who is also a fairy tale creature hunter, and he has to try and stop an international interspecies conspiracy from taking over the world. I'm not so sure. They lost the plot about two seasons ago, but it's a fun time. It's dopey fun. Go check out Grimm on NBC. If you want something dopey that's supposed to be dopey, go check out Portlandia, which is returning for its seventh season Thursdays, 10 p.m. on IFC.
Portlandia. I love Portlandia.
Such a good show. I haven't watched much of it, but whenever I catch clips from it or, you know, it's so funny. They have this weird, quirky, very oddball sense of humor. Yeah. Go check out Portlandia, returning to TV for its seventh season. Finally, in the world of video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. Some of the notable free games for PlayStation include Day of the Tentacle, a remastered 1993 point-and-click adventure classic, in which three friends must stop a purple tentacle from taking over the world. That's one of the free games. Another free game is This War of Mine, Something More Serious, a game in which players must keep a group of survivors alive in a war-torn city by making life and death choices and scavenging for resources while dealing with the constant dangers of war. Sort of like a management game where you manage the survivors in their little shelter and then at night go out and gather supplies to bring back for the next day.
Mike, how do you manage that?
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Sounded like Madden over there.
I know. I use management quite a lot.
Manage? You got to manage all that managing?
You got to manage the management.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Well, hopefully I'm done managing this segment, because that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
Good job, Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
I love that.
I used management like 4 or 5 times.
You channeled your inner John Madden.
I've been known to do that from time to time.
It's okay.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
What the hell is that, third and manageable? I never heard
of it. I don't know what distance manageable
is. Yeah, I never heard another color commentator say third and manageable.
Like, I've heard third and long is a thing, yeah. Third and short, but third and manageable, is it like,
yeah.
Is that like
manageable.
Third and four, third and five?
It's manageable.
It's manageable.
And the manager has to manage it.
That's right. The manager has to manage the manageable management of...
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Of the yes.
Yes. All right. Real quick, since it's a new year, 2017, we figured we would do a quick little... almost prediction, stuff that we're looking forward to here in 2017 in movies, video games, and TV. That's what the entertainment entree is all about. So, Mike, what are you looking forward to in 2017? What's on your hit list?
Well, right off the bat, I have to say that I know people have been feeling kind of tired with all the superhero movies, but 2017 has some great ones lined up that I'm really interested in. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor Ragnarok, and of course... The Spider-Man reboot.
Oh, yeah. You love
Spider-Man. Another Spider-Man reboot.
I totally forgot you love Spider-Man.
Yeah, I do love Spider-Man. I think... Oh, and also Logan, the next Wolverine movie. They haven't been so good, but that's another superhero movie coming out.
It's his last one, right?
It is his last one. Wonder Woman is coming out. Justice League is coming out. There's a lot of big superhero movies. Are you worried about the amount of superhero movies coming out this year? I just listed like six or seven of them.
I am.
Is that too many?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like overkill.
Is this finally critical mass? Do you think this is the year we could get a big superhero flop in the box office? Like Justice League, if it hits around the wrong time.
Justice League could be.
You think because... Justice... What about... Actually, I think Wonder Woman is probably the potential for the bigger flop than Justice League. For some reason, people don't like female leads. So they're going to see Wonder Woman, they're going to be like, oh, DC, female lead, forget it.
Well, hopefully...
It's a shame to say, but you know that's what people are probably thinking.
Hopefully people won't let that distract them from going to see a great movie if Wonder Woman turns out to be a great movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope not.
But I feel like this could be the year it's just like, oh my gosh.
Is it too much?
Yeah, it's like another movie left and right. Oh my God.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I'm counting them. There's 6 proper superhero movies. If you count Lego Batman...
That doesn't really count.
Well, I mean, if you feel like counting it, it's 7. Is that too many superhero movies? And then, of course, there's things like Transformers and Power Rangers. Captain Underpants, apparently. I don't know if that's actually really happening or not. But is this...
Is there another Transformer movie that didn't need to happen?
I know. Why Transformers the last night? I don't even know.
The last night? There's nights?
Well, I don't know what's happening in the Transformers,
the first elf. What? When did elves become a part of this? You know,
the ancient elvish Transformers. I missed that part in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, we missed all these parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think
is 7 superhero movies too much? I mean, yes, it is. But you're still going to go see them. That's the thing. That's the problem. It's like it's too much. But I'm probably going to see like. At least two or three of these.
There might be some I won't see. Like, for example, the Thor one. I might not.
You're not interested in Thor?
Thor's
always been a sleeper hit for me when it comes to the Marvel Universe.
Thor's kind of, you know, like, if I have the time, I'll go see it, but I wouldn't
it's
go
usually,
out of my way.
Yeah, it's usually an on-demand rental for me.
Yeah.
But Guardians and Spider-Man.
Guardians is a big one.
Those are must-sees for me. What about Spider-Man?
Yeah, for you, Spider-Man.
You're not going to go see Spider-Man? How dare maybe. You? How yeah. very
sadly,
dare you?
Sadly, I you're going to hate me when I say this. I would go see Spider-Man because Iron Man's in it.
I mean, if I can get you to see Spider-Man anyway, I guess
right,
I got to accept
what?
That.
This is the equivalent of when they were first kicking around another Superman movie, and that was when they're like, oh, God, we need to put Batman in it.
That
oh,
is
God.
Exactly what happened.
Oh, God, help. Help.
Yeah, it started out as Superman 2, then Superman versus Batman, then Batman versus Superman.
Right. Notice, Batman versus Superman. Yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah. So
you need Batman.
I'm surprised they didn't retitle this. Iron Man teams up with Spider-Man, you know, or something.
Iron Spider-Man.
But you know what? I don't care. If that's what it takes to get Spider-Man back on track, then I'm all for it. You know, I was excited by Marvel stepping back into the Spider-Man universe and helping out that franchise because it has been struggling for a while now between Spider-Man 3 and then the failed reboot and its sequel.
Yep.
I mean, it's been more than a decade since they've had a good Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they can do with this new Spider-Man movie. So superhero movies, too much, potentially the first year where we see a flop. Are there any other movies that you're looking forward to? I know one that you obviously have on your radar.
Yeah.
It begins with Star and ends with Wars.
Yeah, obviously. Episode 8 will come out around Christmas.
Yeah, I'm so pumped that Disney is handling this because finally we get a Star Wars movie, you know, every year, more reliably than before.
And they're doing a great job with it so far. They're 2 for 2.
Yeah, I know. Well, I haven't seen Rogue One yet, but
I know.
I saw Fantastic Beasts, but I didn't
Why?
See Rogue One. Because my cousin doesn't like Star Wars.
Up, killer.
I'll tell her that. When she comes over the next time, I'm going to be like, well, tell you what, my friend told me I had to kill you.
Sorry, you haven't watched Star Wars yet.
Well, I've been saying, you know, you got to watch the original trilogy, and then we can watch Episode 7, and she always goes, I don't like Star Wars.
Yep. She must meet the lightsaber.
She must meet the lightsaber. That's it. Get the lightsaber.
Yep.
That's a lightsabering.
Is that a paddling? Yeah. Is that what you're making a Simpsons reference with that's a paddling.
That's a lightsabering.
That's a lightsabering. You don't watch Star Wars? That's a lightsaber.
It's a little messier than a paddling.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring, but good attempt. I love that. Simpsons reference.
Yeah. So Star Wars, excited for Star Wars. I'm really looking forward to that. What else is coming? There's a lot of great. I'm going through the list right now. Cars 3 did not need to happen.
No,
I don't know why that's a thing. War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
not excited for that one.
I'm not a big apes.
You didn't like the two new movies they did?
Not. Eh.
I really like the first one. The second one was okay.
I wouldn't go out of my way to see them. If it came on the HBO, I'd watch it, but not.
You wouldn't go out of your way to see it.
Right.
What about out of your way to see this one? Because I know you're a fan of the original, The Mummy, a reboot with Tom Cruise now.
You mean Mission Impossible, The Mummy?
Mission Impossible, Mummy.
Mission Mummy.
Look, when I saw the trailer, I was so confused.
Yeah,
I'm like, is this Mission Impossible? Yeah. Is this...
I thought it was another Mission Impossible
That's
movie.
What I thought, too. And then there's like a sarcophagus. I'm like, okay, maybe not Mission Impossible. And then they said The Mummy. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Do they need to reboot The Mummy? We're going back to our old standby conversation. Do they need a reboot? Do they need a sequel? Do they need a reboot? This franchise isn't that old. And it wasn't... I know you're going to disagree with me, but it wasn't that prominent when it was first big.
I would disagree with you on that because I love The Mummy. But here's my thing is if you're going to reboot The Mummy, why would you do it with a mid-50s actor, Tom Cruise? Like, you should be...
Yeah, shouldn't you be bringing up, like, a no-name, like, young and upcoming star?
Somebody that you can build...
Like a Chris Pratt type?
Yeah.
You know, like, picking somebody out of the crowd to make a superhero star?
Right.
Not a superhero, but an action star?
Like, yeah, I don't know why you'd go with Tom Cruise.
I guess he's a bankable actor.
Yeah, but how...
They know that he's going to make money.
But how many films are you going to get from them? You're not going to be able to get a whole lot
of
films from them.
I disagree with the casting as well, but I just know that they're thinking we're going to make money. So that's what that's why they went with it.
They're all singing, we're in the money, we're in the money, Tom Cruise is in the mummy, we're in the
there
money.
We're in the... speaking of clear money grabs, Jumanji is coming out in 2017.
That one could be good.
Yeah, I know you've said before that you're looking forward to it.
The big thing that they did, which was a big plus and a big goodwill on them, was the fact that they outright said this is not a strict remake of the Robin Williams Jumanji. They said this is a completely new storyline, completely new characters, completely new plot, and I think that was good. Just to let everybody know, we're not trying to duplicate the Robin Williams one.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that they cast The Rock in the movie. Because I like The Rock as an actor. Yeah.
Jack Black.
Is Jack Black in it too?
Uh-huh. That's going to be it.
Oh my gosh. Karen Gillian. Oh yeah. This is Kevin Hart. Oh, this is a good cast.
Yeah. I think this is
going to be fun.
I think it'll be good.
This is as long as they don't try to recast, as long as they make it new and fresh, make it a 21st century Jumanji.
Right. Don't try and remake the Robin Williams. It's not going to happen.
Now, here's something worrying, though, is it's coming out at the very end of the year. Does this stand a chance at the box office? It's coming out, according to Google, December 22nd, 2017. Does this have a chance at all?
Maybe get Christmas audiences. You never know.
Family is going to see it during the Christmas break.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. I guess. You know what doesn't make sense, though? The Emoji Movie.
What?
There's a movie about Emoji.
What? Why is this necessary?
I'm not sure.
That one is a why is this necessary. How's there going to be a movie about emojis? What? Happy face. Sad face. Happy face. Crying face.
Oh, my God. Do you want to hear the synopsis? The synopsis is one line. Ready?
I kind of don't want to.
The film will center on Gene, a multi-expressional emoji, as he sets out on a journey to become a normal emoji. What does that even mean?
My head hurts.
Why is this a thing?
But first, let me take a selfie.
Yeah, why don't you take a selfie while you're at it with your emoji? You know, do a kiss emoji. You're at the theater. Ha ha.
This is highly upsetting, Rich.
Yeah.
This is highly upsetting.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this.
This whole conversation bothers me.
This whole conversation bothers me.
Taking a page from Herm Edwards there, you know, this whole conversation bothers me.
Oh, so that's well, since it's bothering you so much, maybe we should step away from film. Do you want to get away from the emoji?
Because this is what I'm really looking more forward to in 2017.
Right, what are you looking forward to in 2017?
Video games.
There's a couple of big ones coming out.
Yeah, two big ones on my radar, which is first the new Mass Effect game, Andromeda. Oh, yeah. I am looking so for. I already, like I said,
my brother pre-ordered it for me for Christmas. I could not be more excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where they go with this franchise.
I'm excited for the fresh start.
Yeah, it's a fresh start.
Brand new characters, brand new planets to explore. That's what I'm excited for.
Brand new story. A story that you can customize. I'm in. I'm ready.
Yeah, especially with all the next gen graphics and sound and.
Yeah, features. I'm sure there's going to be a new twist to the story mechanism.
I hope so.
You know,
I'm really, really looking forward to it. I don't care about the rumors of people are like, oh, we're worried because they haven't shown a lot and because they're being cagey about a release date. You have to trust in BioWare. Look at the work that they've done before.
Yeah. They usually come through.
In the Mass Effect series, in the BioWare series, in the Star Wars series that they did even before Mass Effect and Dragon Age. They know what they're doing when it comes to character-driven RPGs.
Yeah.
So trust in them to get it done right. That's the spring game you're looking forward to. I don't know if you do this, but I have to schedule in my games now. So,
yeah.
So Mass Effect is like the spring, early summer, but I have a feeling both of us are going to be playing something else come fall.
Yeah, that's Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is what they're going to call it.
Yes, I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah.
It had been rumored for so long.
Yep. And the first Red Dead Redemption was so good. The storyline was A++. It was unbelievable. So they got a high bar that they're going to have to try and tack on.
So nothing is known about it yet.
No, but we'll find
out. We don't know anything about it.
Rockstar's very secretive about it.
They are. I really,
and for good reason.
Yeah. I mean, Rockstar is good at protecting their secrets. Until the very last moment.
Yeah.
I am a little worried because I don't want a prequel to the first one.
Yeah, it's kind of
like... That's the only thing I don't want.
Yeah.
Because you know... I don't want to say what happens in the end, but you know how it ends. So I kind of don't want to see, the beginnings of that. Because I think it takes away from it.
Yeah, the end of Red Dead Redemption puts you at the end of the Westerns.
Right.
So it's like, how are you going to make another Western video game if it can't take place after the first Red Dead Redemption? So it seems like it's going to have to be a prequel, or at least a story that follows the same timeline.
Well, the fact that they're using 2, the fact that it's Red Dead Redemption 2 and not like a new Red Dead
blank
R-word, yeah. To me,
Red Dead Revolution was the one that like they wanted on the internet.
Yeah, Revolution, Retribution was another one. Because this is actually the third game in the series.
Right. There was Red Dead Revolver.
Red Dead Revolver, Red Dead Redemption, and then now Red Dead Redemption 2. But the fact that you're using 2, it could be a marketing thing. It also could mean that it's more closely tied to the first game than we realize.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be following the Marston gang or whatever. What gang was you? The Butch gang or something?
Dutch gang.
Yeah. It's probably going to be following that, if I had to bet. I kind of don't want it to, but I'm going to be excited to dive into it regardless.
Yeah, they do a good job with
their open world. Their open worlds are fantastic.
Yeah,
they're just absolutely amazing. Another game that I'm looking forward to, Sonic Mania.
Yeah, Sega. There you go.
I'm really your looking Sega forward roots. To this. Is but more importantly, the reason why I'm excited for Sonic Mania is because it's being developed to be a true successor to the old 2D Sonic games. They have the classic sprites, the animation, the physics are all on point with the old games. It's not like the floaty recent games that have come out. It is true old school Sonic with, you know, beefed up visuals and sounds, but all the old gameplay mechanics are exactly as, from what I understand from reading about it, are exactly as the old ones used to play. So I'm really looking forward to that one. That's a personal one for me that I'm going to be diving into when it comes out. Also, the Crash Bandicoot reboots.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This every year there's new reboots, you know? You get the Sonic reboot, you get the Crash Bandicoot reboot. I wish video games would get away from that a little bit, but the thing is, like, I'm looking forward to them, so I can't really chastise them if I'm looking forward to playing those games.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? I would love new games, but at the same time, like, if you offer me a Crash Bandicoot reboot and a Sonic reboot, I'm going to play them.
There you go.
You know, I hate to be that way, but I can't resist the pull.
All right, and then real quick, what do you want to look forward to in TV?
Oh, TV. I am really excited for all the Netflix shows to come back.
Yeah, Netflix, yep.
I feel like 2016 was the year of Netflix.
Yeah.
Like
Stranger Things,
the OA there at OA. The end, but also, I mean, House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. All these shows, while they had been out for years, were really hit like fever pitch in 2016.
Bloodline.
Oh. Yeah, a lot of these shows were really making big names for themselves. They had already been big, but I feel like this past year they were even bigger.
They hit the mainstream.
They did. They finally hit the main. I mean, they've always kind of sort of been in the mainstream, but this year they were like really present.
Yeah.
They've become fixtures in a lot of people's lives. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Netflix does with this ever growing catalog. You know, I hope they don't get too big too fast, or they bite off more than they can chew. I know this year I'm going to be following, I think, about 6 or 7 Netflix series. Between House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, Stranger Things, the OA. Did you ever watch Making a Murderer?
No, I catch up on
you
that.
You should go back and watch that. I don't know if they're going to be doing a second season, but that's one I really hope they do a second season of.
Yep.
It's a true crime documentary.
Yeah.
But it's just the craziest story where a guy is convicted of a murder that he didn't commit, and he was like 20-some years in jail. He gets out, and he's convicted of another murder. It's like the most insane story you can imagine it. But I'm really looking forward to that. And also, of course, The Walking Dead returns in the spring.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to find out what happens to my man.
What
Negan.
Happens?
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Yeah, I need to find out more.
The Walking Dead certainly tickles my balls.
Yeah, man. Need to find out how this storyline is going to get resolved.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah, so
people keep trashing on it, but I think this year has been really good.
No, I love it. I love this year.
I love the characters. I love, obviously, Negan, but also Ezekiel. I love Jesus, which sounds weird.
Okay.
Not that Jesus, the Jesus character. I can't believe I had to clarify. No, no, I don't love the religious Jesus. I love the... If you're religious and you're listening to this, maybe I do love the religious Jesus. I feel like I'm going straight to hell now. I was already heading there anyway. Yeah. But no, I love the new characters they're introducing, the new locations they're introducing. They're expanding the world. It's much larger now than Rick and his group and like one other group. It's now this really complex relationship between
Hilltop, Kingdom, Saviors.
Saviors, Alexandria.
Yeah, there's a lot of factions now.
The all-female seaside. Oh, yeah. Everybody forgets about that one.
Yeah.
Who do the boots belong to? There's a lot of interesting things happening in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Game of Thrones.
Yep,
that's probably my top TV show, personally. I know you're not a follower, but I'm ready to dive into the final stretch of the Game of Thrones saga.
And one more thing.
Did you have anything else to add?
One more thing I want to add is Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah. Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul will come back, too.
That's right. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah, it is a really good show.
Bob Odenkirk is the man. Simply put, he's the man.
He really is. He does such a great job in that role. And I think he's a producer, too. I'm pretty sure he's a producer.
Probably. Yeah, because he has previous experience producing shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't have a producing credit. So there you go. Things that we're looking forward to in 2017. But before we officially wrap this up, there's one more story that we need to talk about. And yep, this also was one that concluded the year.
Yeah, we can't not talk about this.
Yeah. Mariah Carey. What the hell happened?
What happened?
She gave, I think everybody knows, she gave an awful performance at Dick Clark's New Year's Eve.
It was so bad.
Rockin' New Year's Eve night. It's so bad that here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play it in the background because here's what happened. She came out on stage, her earpiece didn't work, and she essentially refused to sing.
Yeah.
So every now and then she'd have like a sarcastic comment, but she didn't sing.
Yeah, she didn't do anything.
Yeah. So here's some audio from it.
Have a check for this song, so we'll just say it went to number one. And that, we didn't have a check for this song, so we'll just say it went to number one. And that's what it is. Okay.
Feels like she didn't have a sound check, so she couldn't sing that song.
Yeah. And you can hear it's just the background singers.
Some of this vocal, but it is what it is.
She's basically telling everyone, just, you know, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
And
let the audience sing, okay?
Let the audience sing.
And then they don't sing.
Yeah.
It's okay, you guys.
It's okay.
These monitors on, please.
She's telling the PAs, get the monitors on, hello.
Yeah, the in-ear monitors, I think she's referring to.
I told you. She's still not singing.
No.
What are you doing?
I want a holiday too. Can I not have one?
I want a holiday too?
Oh, now she's getting testy.
Oh. Ooh, oh yeah.
I think she tried to sing a few words there.
Ooh, she said an oh yeah. And she's trying to lip sync and it's not working.
Yeah. It was really bad.
Yeah. Like, for example, there's like a note and she wasn't moving her mouth either.
Yeah.
You just don't get any better.
Ooh, just don't get any better.
Jeez.
What the hell was that?
That was really, really terrible. Very cringy too.
Yeah.
You
know what? I never liked Mariah Carey.
Well, you hate her Christmas song.
Yes, I do. I hate All I Want for Christmas Is You. I think it's the worst. It's a horrible song.
You know what? Other than that, I played
over and over again during Christmas time.
I don't know any of her other songs. What are her other songs? I don't even know.
She was. I know she did the Glitter movie that bombed.
What is the Glitter movie?
It was a Glitter movie that tanked horrendously.
That was just called Glitter.
Yeah, it's just called Glitter. Yeah,
I don't know. What I do know is that Mariah Carey had the worst attitude there.
Yeah.
Look, in her defense, I was reading about it online. Apparently, her in-ear monitors weren't working, so she couldn't hear the band playing. She couldn't hear herself sing because an outdoor, you know, the acoustics, it's tough.
But she's not even singing. She's lip-syncing.
Right. There has to be a better way to handle it than being openly
hostile
towards the crew.
And the PA.
Yeah. Like, okay, maybe the crew messed up. Have a little, you know, like, yeah, they messed up. Yeah, they're making you look a little bit foolish. But don't call them out, you know, on live TV.
Yeah. It was just completely unprofessional.
It was.
That might have been one of the worst things I've ever seen on TV. I was just like, is this really? I was watching it live.
See, I didn't watch it live.
I was watching it live. I was like, is this really happening? Like, did...
I love the fact, though, that she tried to get the audience to sing, and they're just like, no.
You guys sing.
Because I think she forgot that they're not there for her. Like, they're just there for New Year's in general.
Yeah.
So they're not, like, specifically her fans.
And she was supposed to be, like, the star of the night, because they put her on right before the ball dropped.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, that's why I didn't see her. I was playing Italian bingo. No, I'm serious. Like, we... Full circle, baby. We were playing Italian bingo up until like 11:50. Yeah.
We belong to Dumbala.
You know, they should have brought a camera to my aunt's house. Yeah. That would have been you more thrilling than that performance.
Yeah, you guys probably would have put on a better performance
than this. Well, because I called out the numbers this year, and I did it really fast because we were trying to finish before midnight.
Well, there you go. Mariah Carey screwing things up on Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. Causing a big stink about it. But
I'm sure we'll hear tons more about it.
Yeah, in my opinion, big whoop. I really don't care about Mariah Carey. Go back to your hole. Go back to your glory hole. Go back to your glory hole.
I need me some glory hole.
Yeah. Well, we need to take a break. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, non-fortune cookie odd news. I got brand new stories. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're jumping right back into the swing of things. We're done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree. That leaves one portion of the show left. So what possibly could it be, Mike?
It's only the return of a brand new non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. The past 2 weeks, we've had some odd news recaps. We've been reviewing some of the best odd news from last year, but it's finally time to get to the first batch of odd news stories for the year. I can't even put my words together.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. This is the first odd news stories of 2017. For those of you that might not be familiar with the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these wacky stories and he keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before. That means that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what is about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready. I'm ready to start a new list, Rich, of the best odd news of 2017.
All right.
I hope there's going to be a few entries from this episode.
All right. Let's dive right in. Going foreign in our first story here because
that's always good.
Yeah, I know how much you love these wacky stories that involve surgeries.
Oh no!
Yeah,
this is already quite upsetting.
No God! No God! Please no! No!
So
surgery on sensitive bits?
No, but this this is an interesting problem here. In Vietnam, Vietnamese man was experiencing pain in his abdomen. He decided to go. He decided to undergo surgery. When they opened him up, they found a pair of surgical scissors that a previous doctor left inside his body approximately 18 years ago.
No God! No God! Please no! No!
Yeah.
18 years.
18 years.
And they hadn't bothered him until that very moment?
Apparently not enough to cause surgery.
I don't know how you don't accidentally, like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
With scissors in your gut. Like, if you, like, lay down the wrong way, like, it's just going to cut your intestines right open.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
Yep. Mr. Von Knott.
Von Knott?
Wow, yeah.
I don't know. Name. That name sounds fake, Rich. Von Knott?
Von Knott. That's his name.
When you said Von, I thought you were going to say Von Trapp or something.
Nope. Mr. Von Knott underwent surgery Saturday at a hospital in Thai Nguyen province after specialists from Viet Duc Hospital in Hanoi were summoned to assist with the procedure. 54-year-old Mr. Von Knott had undergone an ultrasound scan in an attempt to identify the cause of his abdominal pains, and subsequent x-rays identified the cause as a pair of surgical scissors.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. How awkward is that x-ray, like, consultation? Whoops.
It's probably the doctor that left him in there.
What the hell is that? That's not supposed to be inside there.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the part where they taught me where the scissor bone connects to. The scissor bone connects to, hey, wait a second.
Connects to the staples bone.
Yeah.
Staple bone's connected to the office bone.
The office bone?
Yeah.
There's an entire office inside of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I really am amazed, though, that he didn't die.
Yeah.
And also, to rewind 18 years ago, how are you performing surgery? And you just forget that there's scissors inside of him.
Wait a minute. Where did that pair go?
You can't be that fast at sewing a person up that you don't notice scissors.
Oh, man. Lucille, she always grabs my extra pair of scissors.
Oh, damn you, Lucille. Why Lucille? You have Negan on the mind.
Yeah, I had Negan on the mind. Instead of a bat, she leaves scissors.
She's a dingbat. Because she's leaving scissors inside of people.
The patient says that the scissors were apparently left inside him the last time he underwent surgery at Bac Con Provincial Hospital. He was in a road accident that required surgery in 1998. The 6-inch-long scissors...
That's a pretty big... I mean, that's not like a tiny little...
No.
Like, 6 inches is sizable.
Yeah. The 6-inch-long scissors were removed successfully... And doctors say that Mr. Von Knott is expected to be discharged in the next couple of days. So a full recovery.
So it's a happy ending.
Yeah, good job.
But again, how do you leave scissors inside of a person?
That's like, good. That's so, a good question, because director of Bat Khan Provincial Hospital, Trinh Thai Leong, says that a full investigation is underway to determine who exactly performed Mr. Von Knott's surgery in 1998. So there will be repercussions. They're going to follow up on this.
Yeah, you can't leave scissors inside of people.
Whoops.
Well, yeah, whoops. Yeah, it's just one of those occupational hazards.
Yeah, it happens, right?
You know?
My bad. It happens. But
whoops. Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that. But no, think about it. You're a doctor. Right, you're performing surgery. You've been working on this guy for like a couple of hours, right? You're getting ready to sew him up.
Where are your scissors?
Right, where are your scissors? Don't you use scissors to cut the thread?
No, I use my switchblade.
you just pull it out, just unsheath your Bowie knife from your bootstrap.
I'm good.
Don't.
No need for proper equipment here.
What are you holding the skin flaps back with, forks?
Yeah, I just used them for lunch.
Just finished eating some pad thai, and now I'm over here doing surgery.
Yeah, you're lucky there's not a junior mint in there.
Oh, my God. I think a junior mint would cause less damage than a pair of 6-inch scissors.
Could actually save your life.
Oh, God. This is like a more serious version of that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this story I love imagining. There was apparently mass confusion at a Christmas service in Sri Lanka. Yeah, we usually don't hear Sri Lanka.
I don't think we've ever heard that.
Yeah, but there was mass confusion at a Christmas service in Sri Lanka when the Christmas program was supposed to read the prayer Hail Mary, but whoever printed up the copies switched it out with Tupac Shakur's 1997 song Hail Mary instead of the traditional Catholic prayer.
This is like exactly what happened in that Simpsons episode.
Oh, instead of...
Where they swapped out one of the songs for In the Garden of Eden.
Instead, it was In a God of Devita by Iron Butterfly. Yeah.
Wait a minute. This sounds like rock and or roll.
Marge, remember when we made love to this hymn?
How do you make that mistake?
Well, let's see.
No, there's no possible explanation.
So the program went viral during the Christmas holiday. Both the Hail Mary prayer and Tupac's rap song asked Mother Mary to intercede on behalf of sinners, but they differ greatly on the specifics.
Well, I'm not familiar with the song, so do you have some of the specifics?
Yes, I do. Would you like to hear a little bit?
I would love to hear this.
What this printer mixed up Hail Mary prayer with Hail Mary the rap song.
I gotta hear this.
All right. So according to this Sri Lanka printer, this would have been acceptable to use as prayer during Christmas service.
Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See a coming for me, for my diamonds when they glisten. Now pay attention, rest in peace, Father. I'm a ghost, ghost. In the killing fields. Hail Mary, catch me if I go, go deep inside the solitary mind of a madman. Screams in the dark, evil lurks, enemies see me flee. Activate my hate. Let it break to the flame. Set trip. Empty out my clip. Never stop to aim.
Amen.
Amen, yeah. Let us pray.
To be fair, there is a little bit. Bow down, pray to God.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, bow down, pray to God. That's good.
Right. It's all the other stuff.
Yeah, all the other stuff is kind of a little bit bad. Come with me, Hail Mary. That's nice.
Oh my gosh! Did the printer not even like look?
I guess not.
And like not even think like, boy, this doesn't seem like a church hymn.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you're just like, yeah, sure.
Hail Mary, catch me if I go. Oh, that could be good. That's religious. A little bit. Very barely.
I mean,
you can't even
I'm kind of at a loss for words because this happened in The Simpsons, and it's like, oh, that's so ridiculous. That would never happen.
It did.
And then it did. And yep. This is in 2016. That Simpsons episode, like, the Simpsons episode has been on TV for over a decade. Like, you should be, like, looking out for this, you know?
Organizers discovered the mistake before the service began and were able to get the books back, but some people already took pictures and posted them online. Father Da Silva of the Archdiocese of Colombo, who put on the event, has apologized, saying that the page was in the middle of the booklet. When people looked at the page, they saw it before the start of the show. People saw it and alerted us to it. But that printer, whoever did it, I guarantee you probably doesn't have a job anymore.
No, probably not.
That's a pretty big confusion, the mix-up.
Oh, my God. So he printed these lyrics?
By the way, so that does that mean, like, they were on the phone and they were like, you know, oh, page 6, can you please put the Hail Mary? And he goes, you know, like, oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah, Tupac, got it. Like,
yeah.
The first thought was Tupac.
Did they think, like, Tupac was, like, a prophet or something? Or
aren't you hip to the rap music? See, you got to be hip to the rap music.
Of course.
That's a problem. Come on, Padre. Be hip to the rap music.
I'm reading the lyrics. Like, why do you think that this is appropriate for a church?
You got any favorite bits there?
Oh, boy. I mean,
that you can read.
There's
the
actually
problem what we can say.
There's a lot of lyrics. I'm surprised how many lyrics there are for this.
Yeah, man. Tupac was a genius.
This is like the first time I've ever seen this song or reading these lyrics. I mean, he uses the N word and the F word. Like, why would you think, like that's the first clue right there. Like, I don't remember the point in the time where Jesus is like, yo,
MFers.
Yo, F you guys.
Yeah, man, I'm on the cross here. F you guys. What's up? What the hell's going on around here?
Jesus is like, Father, forgive them, these effers. You know, like,
yeah,
you have to be really stupid.
Yeah, and somebody is in Sri Lanka. All right, ready for our next?
It's like talking about thugs and like homeboys and Clinton Max.
Yeah,
like,
man, Jesus was
thugging eternal through. Why would you think that thugging eternal is like a line you would use in church?
And thus he thugged the turtle. Yeah. Jesus said, "I am back." And pulled out his Ootsie and thugged the turtle.
Yes, he emptied his clip. Oh my
Thus
God.
Saith the Lord.
Thus saith, yeah.
Praise be.
The responsorial psalm is, thugging eternal through my heart.
Perfect.
It's just so asinine. Oh, God.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
The stupid is going to continue here. In a jailhouse interview with California's Eyewitness News, a rifle-wielding man who was shot by police officers said that he intentionally approached the officers with his gun to test a theory that he had about police brutality.
What? Are you... No! What theory are you testing? That they're going to shoot a maniac walking up to them with a gun?
29-year-old Jose Vaca had been driving down Oswald Street with a friend when he was pulled over by the officers. Inside his car was a rifle that he recently got in an auction.
Oh, my God.
That's comforting.
Oh, yeah.
He was a convicted felon, and he said that, quote, "I actually knew it was illegal to have the gun."
Oh, great. Fantastic. Good job.
Boy, man, honesty is not the best policy sometimes.
No, it is not.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I knew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that's illegal.
Yeah.
What of it?
What's the big deal?
What's the big deal, officer? I'm only a convicted felon with an assault. What do you have, an assault rifle? A rifle?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When he was pulled over, he decided to go and pick the gun up and bring it to the cop.
Why? Why? That is such a bad idea.
Obviously, a man approaching a cop with a gun. The officer fired and fired 9 shots at him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bullets.
So are you ready to hear about his theory about police brutality?
Yeah, what's his theory?
Because we have the clip from the interview.
Oh, well, they interviewed him.
Yeah. So
okay.
Here you go.
I'm sure he is a shining beacon of intelligence and thought-provoking social commentary.
Yeah, here you go. This is the reason why he decided to bring a gun when he got pulled over to the cop.
Vaca claims he had no intention of shooting the officers and dismissed the notion that he was trying to commit suicide. So why bring the gun out of the car with him?
I told a friend one day that I want her to believe that all police officers are good.
That was in a conversation about police brutality, he says, he had months ago. So when he got pulled over, he says, he thought it was the perfect opportunity to prove his point.
First thing that came to my mind is I'm already getting pulled over. I know they're going to most likely take me in, but I'm willing to try my theory real quick and see if that is true so she can believe that there is good officers in the world.
Looking back, however, he realizes the experiment was ill-conceived.
So how do you think that experiment went?
Completely bad. Completely bad. Never again.
Though ironically, he says, he now has an answer to his question.
So do you think they were good cops?
Yeah, because they didn't know what to expect.
Okay, and there you go. Rocket science over here.
Ill-conceived. That's like the understatement of the year 2017 so far.
Rocket scientist over here. There you go. His theory put the work.
Wow. He's a regular. He's a scientist. He made a hypothesis. He tested it. It failed. This is the part of the scientific process where you go back and you come up with a new hypothesis, right?
Oh, good. So you get shot again.
You know how you could have proved that cops are good is by not coming at them with a rifle.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And just letting them come to the door of your car and be like, oh, well, we're totally going to arrest you, but we're not going to shoot you. You know? Oh, man. Do not approach a police officer with a gun.
Why do you have a gun when you're when you're a convicted felon?
Yeah, I know that they probably should aired that story to be like, oh, look at him, so sad, he got shot 12 times. I have zero sympathy.
No.
Because he is a criminal, and he bought a gun at an auction, and then he approached a police officer with said gun that he bought at an auction.
To test the theory.
I have no sympathy for him. That's like saying, oh, I'm going to test his theory, and I'm going to see if, not all pans on the stove are hot, so I'm going to slap my hands on
them. I'm going to slap my face on all of them.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh, I guess they are hot. If you do the obvious, what the obvious is going to happen to you. If you come at a cop with a gun, you're going to get shot probably.
Yeah.
That's not rocket science or police brutality. That's you being an idiot. Oh, my gosh.
All right. How about we do something that makes you happy?
Yeah, I want to be happy.
Florida odd news stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I know you love Florida odd news stories.
Yeah, let's see what they got for the brand new year.
Oh, yeah. Here's another funny one to imagine. A Florida woman has been accused of walking into a Walmart, stealing a motorized shopping cart, drinking wine, stealing sushi and cinnamon rolls, all while taking meth.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
This lady is crazy.
The most disturbing part of that story is sushi from Walmart.
Yeah, why would you trust sushi from Walmart?
Everything else is like Florida person doing meth, drinking wine. Cinnamon, yeah. Yeah, sushi and cinnamon.
1-2 punch.
Oh,
sushi
boy.
And cinnamon rolls.
My stomach is already churning. Well, you don't like a little cinnamon with your sushi?
Oh, boy.
On top of wine and meth?
Yeah. It's a perfect four-piece.
It's like a fine dining experience.
Yeah. Florida fine dining.
Florida fine dining.
We have your
sushi. What is it? Meth, wine, sushi, and cinnamon buns.
Yeah,
cinnamon
perfect.
Rolls. Oh, my God.
According to a Citrus County Sheriff's Office arrest report, security officers observed 25-year-old Jocelyn Lopez, not Jennifer Lopez.
Jocelyn.
Jocelyn, I guess that's...
This is the lesser known, like, cousin.
Yeah. What you see, you'll be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block.
That's Jenny from the block. This is Jossie from the swamp.
Jossie from the swamp?
Yeah, why not? It's Florida. Isn't it like swamps and
yeah.
stuff? There you go. I'm Jossie from the what's her name? Swamp. Jocelyn?
Jocelyn, yeah.
Yeah, Jossie from the swamp. I'm Jossie from the swamp, drinking wine and eating sushi from the swamp. I don't know. I don't know the original song. I can't parody it.
Used to have a little. Now I have cinnamon rolls. I know where I came from.
When cinnamon rolls is your measurement of moving up in life. I had nothing. Now I got cinnamon rolls. I'm basically like one of them rich people.
Yeah, she's in sushi and cinnamon rolls.
That's when you know you've made it. Oh my god.
So they observed
Jossie from the swamp.
Jossie from the swamp. So the security officers observed 25-year-old Jocelyn Lopez. They said that she stole only $32.36 worth of food and wine.
It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm always amazed when people go to steal stuff. They go to like Walmart.
Yeah.
If you're gonna steal something, go to like a diamond store or something, you know?
Yeah, make it worth your while.
Yeah. God. All that effort for $32 worth of cheap box wine and sushi? Come on.
I'd have $32. the security officer said that they watched Lopez open sushi, open a package of mini muffins, cinnamon rolls, and also ate a random piece of a rotisserie chicken. Boy, this is a full course meal here.
I think she's just really hungry. That was dinner. When you say a piece of rotisserie chicken, did she go to like the rotisserie and just like rip off a leg?
Yes, that's exactly what she did. Lopez,
that's amazing.
Lopez told authorities that she was hungry and that she had just injected herself with some meth.
Well, at least she was
happy.
Honest.
Happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. she was arrested on charges of retail petite theft and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Retail petite theft?
Yeah.
Why do they always come up with weird names?
Florida.
Retail, like, no, we've been doing this for 4 years. I've never heard retail petite theft.
That's the charge.
Why isn't it just, I don't know, petite theft, Florida. I looked up retail petite theft, and the first one that came up was a Florida thing.
That sounds about right.
Petite theft in Florida, definition, penalties, and defenses. In Florida, petite theft is the taking or using of property valued at under $300 with the intent to deprive the owner of a right or benefit in the property.
Okay. There's...
Huh. Interesting. Should Mike's... I continue? No. Wow, there's a lot
here. We got to keep going.
You're like, no, no.
No, we got to keep going. I have two more Florida stories. We got to keep this moving here.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Here you go. This is another fun one to imagine. An 83-year-old Sarasota man is accused of walloping a car salesman in the head with a golf club and hitting the salesman with his car after learning that his scratch-off ticket prize from the car dealership was only a $5 Walmart gift card.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Well, what was he expecting?
Apparently, I expected a new car, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because they just give out free cars.
83-year-old.
Like, didn't it say, like, you want a $5 thing?
that's all he got. 83-year-old Lindsay Dean Owens is charged with two counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Investigators said that the violent incident attack happened around 6:30 p.m. last Wednesday. The local Nissan dealership was having a sales event in the parking lot outside of a JCPenney. The victim said that Owens showed up with one of the scratch-off tickets they were giving away and demanded that he should be given more, even though the prize that he scratched off said he would only win a $5 Walmart gift card.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Why does he think he could just demand more? I know it said I want $5, but I want 10.
Yes.
Give me 10 now. Like,
I want I want exactly $32.36.
Yeah, I have to go pay for my wife's dinner.
Yes.
But like, it, what logic, like what basis does he give an excuse like this is why I should get more, or he just wants more?
He just wants more.
Because I want more. Who's going to, nobody gives me more. Why should he get more? This is insane.
Well, when he was denied, deputies said that Owens got into his car, started to leave, but then sped up and swerved at the car salesman, causing the mirror of Owens' car to hit him in the forearm. Deputies said that Owens then stopped, got out of his car, got to his trunk, and took out a golf club and whacked him on the right side of the face.
No, I'm gonna fucking kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Bam.
All of this is over $5.
Yeah.
That, mind you, he's winning $5. It's not like they took $5 from him or deprived him of $5. He was going to get $5 for doing nothing. And instead, it's not good enough, and no. He attacks a person with a golf club.
Not good enough.
Some people are just so entitled.
Owens then got in his car and drove off. Deputies went to Owens' home and interviewed him, and he was then arrested on 2 counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. So, yeah, he's going to have some legal hearings to get to.
Yeah. God, that sucks for that car dealer, though.
Yeah.
The guy didn't even do anything.
Car sales is a horrible job.
Yeah. People are going to assault you with golf clubs if you don't give them more than $5.
I want to know what golf club it was.
Was it like a putter, or was it like one of the drivers, or?
Like, I guess a driver would probably cause the most damage.
Well, aren't they like lightweight and hollow though?
Maybe an iron then.
I think a putter. Putters are pretty solid, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're sort of like square and rectangular.
Yeah, that'll do some damage.
You do some good damage. Why are we talking about what golf club can injure a person?
Odd news.
Odd news.
Yep.
It gets you thinking, what could I do the most bodily harm with? Yeah. A sand wedge or a putter? Or would a sand wedge be better? It's kind of like slanted. You get like a good like chopping motion.
Yeah.
Use it like an axe.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
You should test out those theories, Rich.
Yeah. I got a set.
Yeah. You should approach a cop with your golf clubs to test out a theory. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm testing a theory.
Excuse me, officer.
Don't be alarmed. I'm going to hit you a few times.
Yeah. It's all for a theory. Science.
Yeah.
It's all for science.
I'm testing a hypothesis.
Yes. All right, got one more story here for you from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And boy, man, this one's a winner here in Florida. A Summerfield, Florida man is accused of exposing himself to a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, not good.
While dancing in her room as she was using a computer.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This guy...
Wait, how did he find his way into the room?
maybe they were communicating on the computer, but he just walked in.
Oh, you mean like... Oh, so he was there physically.
Yes, he was actually there physically and started to dance.
Okay. So are you suggesting they found each other online and then he like hunted her down and like danced in her room?
Yeah, because somehow this 51-year-old man ended up in this 15-year-old girl's room.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
51-year-old Beaver Bentley.
Oh, come on.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Yes. How do you get a name like Beaver Bentley?
Beaver Bentley.
His parents hated him.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
51-year-old Beaver Bentley denied that he showed the victim his penis. He told detectives that he was dancing in the girl's room when his penis, quote, accidentally came through a hole he had in his jeans.
Oh, come on. What was that? It's like a snake. It slithered through. Hissed at her.
Well, now, here's where things get weird.
Wasn't he wearing underwear? Come on.
Here's where things get even weirder. When he was telling the story to the detectives, Beaver Bentley had a picture of the jeans that he was wearing to show that he did have 2 holes in the crotch area.
So he came prepared.
With evidence.
With evidence.
To support his claims.
Methinks that he is intentionally trying to mislead them.
The evidence has been falsified.
Yeah.
Yes, we're calling Judge Dredd here. We're saying it's false.
The evidence has been falsified.
Yes. I just happen to have this picture of my jeans lying around.
The evidence has been falsified.
That just screams of being fabricated.
The girl told detectives that she was using the computer when Beaver Bentley...
Nice Beaver.
Came in and told her, quote, "Hey, baby, did you know that I can dance?"
What?
That's his first line.
That's your introduction.
Yeah.
Hey baby. Did you hear that I can dance?
Yeah, I'm the Beaver.
Nice Beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
But did they know each other? Or did he just like kick down a random person's door and start dancing for them?
He started to dance and then started to grind on her furniture. The girl then claims that he did pull out his penis and held it in his hands and said, "Hey, do you see that right there? Woo!"
Woo!
Woo! No, I don't want to think of Ric Flair.
Nobody says woo around here except me. Woo! 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 Woo!
Finally realized where that clip is from. Ric Flair and this guy are having a penis measuring contest.
Get sword off.
Sword off. Well, I didn't go that far.
Well,
two old guys just holding their you know, in their hands, screaming woo at each other.
Well, good old Beaver Bentley.
Nice Beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Beaver Bentley served time in prison for a 2011 case of lewd and lascivious exhibition.
Ah, there
according
you go.
To state records. So he's going to be investigated further. So I highly doubt he's going to get away from this one unscathed.
I love the fact that he came ready with a picture.
Yeah, what is up with that? whoa, hold on. I have a picture.
What, you mean you don't carry pictures of all your jeans with you at all times?
No, I don't. Maybe I should.
You really should, just in case. Just in case. That is so fishy.
Yeah.
If I were a cop, I would just arrest him right then and be like, no, you're going straight to jail.
Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah.
Why?
Most people have like pictures of like their kids or like the friends and family in their wallet. Ooh. This guy's got a picture of jeans.
Here's what I wore last Thursday. Oh, yeah. Great memories. Yeah.
Such fond memories of that shirt. Oh, look at the cute little mustard stain there.
He was so young,
yeah. This weird guy dancing naked in front of 15-year-old girls and keeps pictures of his clothes in his wallet.
Yeah.
That's like that's the really creepy thing, where he just prepared with the photos.
Yeah. And the fact his name's Beaver.
Nice Beaver.
And there you go, folks. God. That's what I have for you in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news for this week. But before we end the show, it's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, first, I learned that I have to make a photo album of all my clothes.
Yeah, why not?
You never know when you're going to get called up by the police and you have to show them a picture of your jeans. That's why it's best just to, you know, make an album in your Photos app of all your clothes, just in case. I also learned, speaking of interactions with cops, it's probably best not to test your scientific hypotheses on police officers.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, especially if they involve guns or golf clubs.
Yeah, and you're also a convicted felon.
Yeah. Actually, no scientific experiments for you at all if you're a felon.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. I also learned about Jenny from the Block's lesser-known cousin, Jossie from the Swamp.
She loves her sushi and random bits of rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, well, you know, she's worked hard to get to the top there.
Yeah.
For her random pieces of rotisserie chicken and cinnamon rolls.
Yeah. Perfect thing that goes with math.
That's right. That is a Florida fine dining experience, I learned. Yeah. You have the meth, the wine, the sushi, a rotisserie chicken leg, and some cinnamon rolls for dessert.
Bon appetit.
Oh, I know. It's like it's like a five-star meal right there.
Yeah.
Oh, delicious. Chef Ramsay would be proud. you know who wouldn't be proud, though, is the Pope when he learns that people were singing Tupac songs at a church thing. That was just insane.
Yep. There's some bits.
There's some bits. Yeah, like this part, I learned that this could be a great responsorial psalm. You know, the part where the person's like, they sing a line and then you sing a line? Well, I think that Thugging Eternal Through My Heart would be a really touching responsorial psalm.
that would make me cry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think all the prisoners would shed a tear for that one.
Yeah.
Thugging Eternal Through My Heart.
Yeah.
So moving.
And there you go, folks. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Man, it feels good to be back here in 2017.
Oh, yes, it does.
With the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yep. Thuggin' Eternal.
Thuggin' Eternal.
News.
Sure, why not? sports, entertainment, odd news. This is what the Crispy Noodle Podcast is all about. Thank you for listening to us as we begin a new year here in 2017. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole bunch more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday morning. You can listen to us on the go. Sorry, I'm really nasally right now. I can't breathe and talk at the same time.
You need to have some more meth and
chicken. Yeah, I know. I need meth to clear out the system. Yeah.
Meth and chicken.
Yeah, meth and chicken. It's great for the sinuses.
Yeah.
But you know what else is great for the sinuses? Is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the best bits of the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show condensed into a 1 to 2 minute promo that you can listen to on the go and share with family and friends the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and chat with us. Let us know what's going on. Let us know how you're handling the new year.
Yeah.
Any New Year's resolutions, Mike?
Just be awesome, generally.
Okay. That's good.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I'd say lose weight, but I think that's impossible in an Italian family.
Yeah, as an Italian, it's pretty hard with all the pastas and breads and meats and cheese and wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So, I think
you're not going to start a new gym subscription?
No, I'm going to have to come up with something else. Maybe start with the Florida diet with meth and
that's my New Year's resolution. To start the Florida diet.
But there you go.
Meth, wine, and sushi.
There you go. Perfect. That will wrap it up. It's time for us to leave. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. The Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.